He doesn't look much like a spirit of me. Pretty much narrows it down. Welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, June 3rd, 2010. The guilt-ridden episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Matt.
RJ.
I'm Dennis.
Voila. We don't have Jeremy here tonight. He is not with us. Hopefully he'll be back next week with us. We do tweets, emails, and voicemails as usual. You guys did a bang-up job coming through with the tweets. That pretty much provided almost the entire episode based off of your tweets.
We're of the same mind.
Well, we are. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We talked about timing of DLC. We talked about Colonial Marines. E3 talk is brought up a lot. Beat Hazard is introduced to us, to James. Red Dead Redemption talk, Blur, Split Second. New releases versus an old backlog. We had a lot of talk about this, getting back to our games. It's show title, but you'll figure that out later or now. Alan Wake in episodic-style gameplay. Hulu on the 360. James is in love with that idea, and I think a lot of other people are as well. The Battlefield series gets discussed. Also, mech piloting and flight simulators as well in this episode. Tons of stuff, and it was all brought by you. And if you want to do it again, all you have to do is tweet us at In-Game Chat. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Or you can do like Kevin and other people do. You can call us. And we'll play your call on the air. 201-7-IN-GAME is the voicemail number you need to know. 201-7-IN-GAME. So that's it. Enjoy. We'll see. There you go.
I'm good to go. Whenever you're ready to record.
Whenever.
So why don't we start with some of them?
Let's do that.
So, the first one comes from BK Smith. Great show as usual. Love the new direction of the show. Red Dead Redemption put GTA 4 to shame. And I think we kind of agree with that.
I don't. Yeah.
I think it's just different.
Jesus Christ! Way to throw out one sentence that can't be answered with anything less than probably, half an hour of dialogue.
Yeah.
There were some
arguments to the effect that. It's a free roam sandbox style game. So a lot of what makes the game what it is the environment that you play it in. So really, you're talking about your buttes and mesas and shit like that versus a cityscape.
Mm-hmm.
I personally prefer the cityscape. I think there's a lot more. I think there's a lot more texture, a lot more depth and detail, and don't get me wrong, it didn't take me long to really have a sense of place in I don't want to say just New Austin, but in that area in general. Like I could really know instinctively where I was after a while.
Yeah.
But I know for my own self, I have preferred the cityscapes of past games. But people have made the very legitimate argument that all of those things were essentially modeled, just off of how, modeling a city is just modeling a city. It's blocks and streets and alleys and stuff like that. This is actually much more, this is more art, this is more creation, actually.
Modeling a world.
Yeah, well, just creating a landscape, and carving out the valleys and the canyons.
You couldn't put blocks for rocks. No.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot to be said for that, but there's also a lot to be said for the fact that a lot of people don't really dig on that kind of desolation,
Yeah.
In large fucking stretches of desolate shit, cactus forests and scrub oak, and rocks. And shit, my horse won't jump off.
Yeah,
I can promise you, my car would jump off that shit. It might crash, but my car pretty much always did what I wanted it to do. My horse does not. Yeah, whatever. I'm not harsh on the horses.
Maybe that'd be kind of fun, for the expansion that's coming out on the 22nd, have them have, the Model T.
You did that entirely wrong, but, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, have the Model T as, something
well,
you can
drive.
Well,
it's not an expansion coming out on the 22nd. Or it's the
co-op, it's the
six-mission four-player co-op stuff. What is it? We had a title for it, right? It was
Something to the End.
Yeah, Outlaws to the End or something.
Yeah,
like
Outlaws
that.
To the End. That's what it was.
I don't know what the hell that is. Like, are we going to play the end of Young Guns? Which would be kind of cool. I want to be Emilio and come out of the chest and go, raw! Actually, I want to play the part where they all eat peyote into the spirit world. Because that shit was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that probably won't happen. Neither will your Model T fantasy, by the way.
We'll have 6 brand new co-op missions, as well as new co-op challenges, bonus multiplayer XP rewards, and extra opportunities to unlock additional achievements and trophies. Up to 4 players can team up together online.
Okay, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, that statement. I thought it was expressly designed for
I was going
to
say, you can put 10 or ever how many, what is it, 10?
8. And what?
Oh, is it 8?
In a posse.
I was going to say, you can put 8 of us in a posse, but only 4 people can do the co-op missions together.
I don't know. I don't understand. But whatever. I mean, that was one of the reasons that I actually put money on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to wait that long, thank fucking God.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that they don't have us on the hook for like 3 months before they release that shit. That's probably a good move.
Yeah.
Because it's still fresh in everyone's mind.
Well, and it's just
getting done.
It's just, yeah, we'll just be getting done, and it's soon enough after that that you won't want to just toss it straight at, you know, Joe GameStop for a little bit of credit. You want to hold on to it at least for a while. And no doubt something after that, but I don't know. And, you know, and as for comparisons to GTA 4, I think it's a more focused experience. I think there's a lot less deviation from like the central issue of your character. I don't think that it's always necessarily true to that. You know, we talked about it last week about how he kind of runs his mouth with this tune right here and then actually acts, you know, according to this tune over here. That's not that great, but I just don't think that it's as much of a wandering experience. I mean, I don't miss the fucking girlfriends at all. Like, I don't miss keeping those bitches happy, because I just don't. Like, that occupied an awful lot of your time.
Yeah, I remember that being a complaint for you on GTA 4, and for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, if you wanted to keep the...
I didn't play it enough to really... for that to be a complaint to me.
Well, there were a couple of them that were unbelievably useful.
Yeah.
You know, old girl that was the lawyer. Like, if you wanted to keep her happy, you had to spend an enormous amount of time with her.
But and she was it was bitch. Worth it.
And she was a mean fucking drunk.
Yeah, see, I didn't go for any of the extra ones. I only kept the ones that were the storyline ones.
Yeah. You know, going for the extra ones actually made the storyline make a lot less sense to me.
Really?
Yeah, because he treated them all like, you know... He treated them all like trash, essentially. Mm. I mean, he wasn't horrible to them, but it was like no one of them meant anything. You know, he slept with all of them. He got what he needed. And then, you know, what's her... whatever.
I don't remember her name.
Like, the main girl, he's supposed to... like, he's just so madly in love with at a certain point in the story. It made no sense in light of his behavior with all the rest of them. It made it seem like he was only really in love with her because she wouldn't sleep with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was like... Irish boy's sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, Packy's sister.
Packy's sister, yeah.
Katie, I think.
Sure.
Katie, I think. Yeah,
whatever.
Something like that.
I didn't like her. I really didn't. I didn't care for her. I didn't like any of them, to be quite honest with you. It's a very chauvinistic game. And not just because you can fuck hookers in the back of your car, but because the female characters are shit. And I haven't played horribly far, and there's not a whole hell of a lot of them, but they seem better in... That seems to be something that's a little more...
developed.
Yeah. And, developed in the right ways. Because I love old girl. Like, she was a bit of like a... You know, she was a real pill in the beginning. And I was like, geez, just fucking smack this bitch, man. But like, I got to liken her, you know? So, say what you will. I don't think it necessarily blows it away, but I know it is absolutely the true cup of tea for a lot of people in a way that GTA wasn't. And I think it's a much more refined experience, even if I'd rather have cities and cars.
Yeah.
And submachine guns and drug dealers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One thing also I like is whenever you're like, say you're in a saloon playing, you know, cards or whatnot.
Which I'm never doing, by the way. Because the shit's all fucking broken.
Yeah. But you'll have like some of the ladies come up to you and you say, no thanks, ma'am, I'm married. You know, and so, you know, it's a completely different kind of character, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I also don't like that my guy's married.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I think it's another thing that doesn't make sense with the guy he is in other parts of the game. Not that he's whoring or anything, but just I don't understand. His motivations are supposedly so far away that for a great portion of the game they make no sense. I can't connect to them. What is this guy in front of me? This guy in front of me is like some cowboy, you know, out to like on a crusade or something. And the idea that he's got these things back at home and that he's so devoted to it,
yeah,
that it keeps his focus. I don't know. It's not perfect for me. Pretty damn good though. So I don't know.
The next tweets come from Iron Past. He wanted to be a little bit more clear about a tweet he sent us in the previous episode, where he had said he had talked about the Project $10 from last week's episode. I also think things like Project $10 should be relegated to online stuff. I dislike my single player handed out piecemeal. I wasn't clear before. If a new game bonus doles out extras over time, I want it to be online related, not in single player, where I end up not touching it after I played. Kind of kills a classic feel of a game by dating it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I see what he's saying. It was almost what we just said a minute ago, where it's like if your shit ships out 6 months after game release, we're kind of...
Well, we actually touched on that. We were talking about
Assassin's Creed.
How unlikely it was that we played Assassin's Creed. It was like mm-hmm. critical single-player shit. It was just too...
Yeah, because I think I was the only one who actually played through them.
Yeah, it was just enough too far after the game's release to put it outside of the window of my interest. And not only that, it was right smack in the middle of other single-player shit.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is where this shit from for Red Dead is going to be. Not quite as bad, but the 22nd is...
Transformers.
That's the same day Transformers.
It's Transformers, then there's... what else we got? There's some other shit.
The week after that is... Crackdown 2.
Crackdown 2. Isn't there yet another thing in that window? Singularity?
Really?
Isn't that in that window?
I'm going to check now.
Why am I just like making up fucking shit inside of my head?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Knock it off.
Wouldn't Dante's Inferno like that? I think that St. Lucia.
Charles of St. Lucia.
Yeah.
How
long ago was that since...
I think that came out in May, didn't it? Or was it come out in April?
No, I think it was April, because I remember it was out.
It must have been, was it late April or something?
Because I was
I
was on the PlayStation Store, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking about it. I was like, and it
yeah. really didn't even well, Dante, make, Dante's came out in... Dante's yeah. came out, what, early September? Early February?
Yeah.
Which is, again, the same time that the Assassin's Creed stuff came out, which is the same time that Bayonetta came out, which is the same time that Mass Effect 2 came out.
Speaking
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Singularity 629.
Yeah, like that's like a really that's a pretty rude span, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's like three things.
Yeah.
Four things if you count the DLC. So yeah, whatever, man. Like it's cool. I mean it's free DLC, right?
Last I heard, yeah.
So I mean we've all still got the game.
Yep.
So pick it up. Play the shit, it'll be great. I mean, I know it'll be awesome, but I mean, Transformers looks, you know, sort of hot.
Yeah, just
in a way that
it
doesn't have any right to. It totally has no right to look that way. It has no right whatsoever to have three-player storyline co-op. But whatever.
We're all over that.
I don't expect it to be a lasting experience, but pretty commanding. You know, I don't intend to not play that game right when it comes out. I mean.
To me, it's the three person is. I wonder if that's story related. Why it's just three, but you know, it's like so close. But yet, why couldn't they have just four?
Well, here's the thing: giving them the benefit of the doubt, yeah, they know more about their game than we.
Yeah, maybe four is just too much for running around
maybe,
in that world.
Maybe four is a little bit too much. Maybe there is a storyline reason,
yeah,
given how many of the actual bots they have. In order to make it make sense mission by mission to all the ones you're actually able to because you're actually using named bots in the co-op.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. don't get named bots in the multi.
No, you that can design your own.
But whatever, you know, it's not that
I thought
deal.
The like for the multi you could get named bots like you know, that with the whole GameStop Shockwave. Yeah, that's the multiplayer. you know.
I don't know about that. I just know that you don't. I don't know. I'd have to look at that a little bit closer.
Might be. But I know you can design your own.
But you don't. You don't. The videos that were released a handful of weeks back that were all about the multi, very specifically detailed. Like you're not fucking around with. I think the pre-order bots you get might be the only named bots that you can use in multi.
I guess that would make sense because you wouldn't have 12 Optimus Primes and you know Megatrons running around one match.
I don't know why. I don't know why not. Rather, like, I mean, I used to run around as R2-D2 in Quake 2 multiplayer. Like, who the fuck cares? It's multiplayer.
True.
Right? You can have whatever fucking skin you want. So. I mean, how many Nathan Drakes were running around in the
in
the Uncharted multiplayer? Like, it doesn't matter. But they wanted to tie it to like a rank system, you know, where like every fucking new pussy was running around as Bumblebee or some shit.
Really?
Yeah, right. And you had to like rank up to Optimus. That'd be kind of cool, I guess. Not that it'd make me care about the multiplayer anymore. So, whatever. It's the campaign and possibly some 3-player co-op for me, or bust.
Next tweet from Luckless Wonder says, any more chatter on Colonial Marines?
It's still, last I looked, I think it's like a November release.
Ain't no fucking November release. Well, you know what?
That's,
I don't know.
Suspected.
This side of E3, who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
At this point, like right now, you can talk about stuff that's been completely forgotten about forever. And you can say, oh, you know, it's dead and gone. But 2 weeks out from E3, nobody talks about shit unless it's a leak, you know. And there's plenty of leaks to talk about, but there's no real stuff. Now, in 3 weeks' time, if we still haven't heard anything else, then the motherfucker's basically dead for another year at the very least. But the last thing that Pitchford was pretty... It was after Borderlands. It was sometime after Borderlands, mm-hmm. after they had already gotten some of the expansion material out for Borderlands. And he came out and said, you know, no, it's still there. We're still working on it. This was also around the time that that the other part of the Aliens franchise was getting plowed under by Sega.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was funny because...
Just says release date 2010, so no.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Did you happen to read I'm only reminded of that, the destruction of the Alien games by Sega, because it was brought up by that supposedly disgruntled developer from Obsidian.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Who posted on Joystick?
I didn't read the forum post total. I read whatever some news site had posted about it.
Joystick did their review of Alpha Protocol.
Yeah,
but they had only quoted his take on Alpha Protocol. They didn't quote the whole thing.
Yeah,
apparently
it was a little more interesting and a little more enlightening. But Joystick's review of Alpha Protocol was predictably bad.
Yeah,
and in their frankly. Mostly useless comment section. Like, it was not even a real forum, and there's no consistency. I mean, it's, even a forum discussion usually turns into a bad thing. I mean, their posts are just whatever. But this guy, he only went by the name of a tired dev, was apparently a member of the Alpha Protocol development team. And he chimed in to say that he agreed with the review 100%, and that the game was a piece of shit, and essentially, hung out some laundry about whatever his name is, the guy that's the head of the studio, co-owner of the studio, or lead producer of the game and co-owner of the studio. How he basically ran it into the fucking ground because he doesn't know how to manage, and he drove all project managers and project leads away, didn't replace them, tried to micromanage the entire product, and laid a hefty amount of blame for the failure at Sega's feet for repeatedly altering the design parameters of the game, which is something we all know is just... I mean, it was a brief but insightful thing that shone some light on the kinds of things you know are there, but you don't want to hear. They are actually happening. That the publisher, so far removed from the actual development of the game and any understanding of how it's actually made, just keeps coming in and dragging their dick across the process. Not really thinking about what makes a better game, but let's add more features. Let's add more features. Oh, we need more features. Well, this feature isn't working out and the game isn't really looking very good, so let's add more features. You know, like... It stinks of retail and sales and not of design. And he said a lot of that. And he ended it. He sort of capped his whole thing by saying that everything else that Obsidian is working on right now looks good. He said those things still look good. And New Vegas, obviously, being a big worry. Like, if this guy's saying Obsidian's being run like shit, then how worried should we be about New Vegas? I don't know what he was doing there, legit, not legit, I mean, who knows. But he also said he indicated that he deeply regretted the cancellation of Aliens. He was like, Alpha Protocol is the thing that should have been killed, not Aliens. He basically indicated it was fine, and that AP is the thing that should have been put to rest over a year ago. So, not that that helps anything, it just makes us even more sad for its cancellation. But, and yeah, and around the time that happened... It was also close to that time, I think, that Randy said something about Colonial Marines. So, just to reassure people. But, I don't know. I mean, I believe the man, you know. I don't know. If we don't hear anything at E3, then
Give up.
Yeah.
Spigot writes in and says, I want you guys to work your magic and get me Thief 4 now. Also, have any of you had your brains melted by...
Did you spell now with an N-A-O?
No.
I don't want to make that happen.
Also, have any of you had your brains melted by Beat Hazard?
No,
man.
I don't even know if Jeremy's tried that yet.
I don't even know what it is, but I can tell you that something named Beat Hazard is the kind of thing that I will never get my brain close to. I don't know anything about it. I just know that something named Beat Hazard sounds like a thing that Trey would dance to in the arcade. Or, like, something like that. Like a rhythm thing that's apparently quite hazardous for whatever. I don't know. Whatever. It's not a thing for me, just by the title. And I could be wrong. I just know are you going to play me a video?
Maybe. Oh, it's an indie game. It's an indie game on Xbox Live.
So it's a music thing, though, isn't it?
So it's $1.
Oh, well.
You know, maybe I could get near it. At the least.
Oh, God damn it. Looks like Geometry Wars.
Yeah, it does. Unique music-driven gameplay.
Huh. So it's like Geometry Wars with music?
Each track produces a different experience.
God damn it. Thanks a lot. Now I have to... You're such a fucking asshole.
The more intense the music, the more powerful you become.
Huh.
So like,
looks really good.
Like a trance.
So do you spew that shit based on? Is it the shit you spew that's based on the music?
Or maybe.
Is it your bad guys there?
Is music the weapon?
He just increased his volume.
So it's like Geometry Wars meets Revolution X. Jeremy will love it. God damn it! It looks like Geometry Wars. I have to play it now. Thanks a lot, motherfucker. I really hate it when people introduce me to new and interesting concepts.
I'm going to see how much it's going to cost you. Oh, it's on Steam.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll buy it when I go home. I don't know whether it makes me a better person or a worse person that I'm sometimes so tenuously connected to my own... I hate this! Oh, never mind, I'll get it.
Ooh, $10 on Steam.
Whatever. What the fuck is $10?
Because I don't think it's $10 on Xbox Live indie games.
What is it on Xbox
Live indie games? I'm going to check.
Anyway, yeah. Nobody has played it, I can guarantee you, but they will have by next time. I really wish you wouldn't do this in the middle of the show.
I know.
Because now I have this fucking dead space and I have to go back and I have to fucking figure out how to cut it out. Because you don't get your fucking shit together ahead of time.
Like I could ever predict that we would want to do this.
But it's there. He mentioned it. And you should say, boy, I guess I should bring up a page about that. I don't know how to. Man, see, I don't know where this is. Like 23 minutes and 59 seconds.
$5. Whatever. So 10 on Steam, 5 on Xbox Live. Anyway. There you go. You can thank Spigot. Of course, I mean, that would come from him, you know?
Yeah, when I said, thanks, motherfucker, for introducing me to new concepts. I mean, whatever. It looks more fun. I was picturing something entirely different. But things that look like Geometry Wars, like, I have a weakness for shit like that. Mm-hmm. That are all trippy and sort of asteroids-y.
Yeah. Might be out there says spam. Also,
spam. Bacon and eggs, spam.
Also, talk about how awesome Blur is.
Is it?
Multiplayer is great. Single player, not so much.
Really?
But the multiplayer is a lot of fun.
Why?
The single player, I just put my review on COG for this, by the way. If you want to go look at it, I can tell you about it now. When it comes to racing games, it also happens on rhythm games. I'm a very OCD type player, where when I play those games, I have to, like on songs, I have to 5-star the song on whatever difficulty I put it on. I need to 5-star that song. And in a race, I'm the same way. With Burnout, if I'm not coming in first, I hit pause, restart, and start over. That's the way I am. Holy shit. On medium difficulty, I could hardly come in first.
Are there any shortcuts or anything you can try to use in there?
It's battle racing, you know? So you're going to get cheap shots every now and again. If you get ahead of the pack, you're going to get...
The blue turtle?
The blue shell, or their equivalent of
yeah.
The blue shell, which doesn't actually target you. But
I read that headline somewhere. Somebody summed up the entire game by saying, Blur, it's a blue shell game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Not for me. Fuck it.
So yeah, single player is very tough. So I'm playing on medium, and I'm having to restart. And I said, oh, fine. You know, I was almost ready to write my review and just say, like, your game's... I hate your game's difficulty at medium. So I said, well, let me put it on easy. Let's see what happens when I put it on easy. So I put it on easy. Well, now I can finish a race in first, but it's so fucking boring that it doesn't matter because I'm so far ahead of the pack on lap one.
Seems like, yeah, the bell curve for that is just totally off.
Right, so their easy is way too easy. Their medium seems to be very difficult. I didn't even put it on hard to see what the hell that was going to be.
Watch that be the middle ground.
That would have been fun. You wouldn't even, like, move from your starting line at all.
Lost.
Hard sounds like you can sit in the back of the pack and wait for everybody else to blow each other up.
Do it on hard?
On
yeah.
Hard.
Well, no, it's on the AI. It doesn't, you know, you're just not going to win. You're just not going to win. Because there's going to be one guy that's not getting blown up that's going to be much faster than you, I'm sure. But if I can't do it on medium, I sure as hell can't do it on hard. And if I can do it on easy but have no fun doing it, then what's my point? But see, that's just me. I'm OCD like that where I have to do this. Some people aren't like that, though. Mm-hmm. Some people can accept, you know, some people are okay with just advancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they get the requirements they need to unlock the next level, and they move on. That's all they care about. And that's fine. That's a fine way to play your game if that's what you want to do. I just have this particular twitch of if I'm not in first, I ain't happy.
Usually in a racing game like that, if they give you something for coming in first in all the races, you know, I'd go for it that way. But if there's nothing, there's no reward for that, yeah, I would just advance.
Well, I can tell you, coming in first, there's different ways of going about it. Lights is their version of stars for the from the rhythm games. Lights, if you come in first, you get 5 lights. Lights unlock different new, will advance you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But fans is the equivalent of XP. The fans unlock new cars, new tracks, or new challenges and things like that. They do the unlocks. And you gain fans by doing little side things that are on the track. So, like, during a race, you can drive through little fan symbol, and it'll suddenly bring up these, like, checkpoints to drive through. And if you can drive through them all the way through and not miss any of them, then, you know, you get a fan bonus in the middle of racing everything. And then there's little things on the track called fan demands. So you drive through it, and it says, okay, you need to hit... within ever how many seconds you need to pull off a drift of this far. you know, mm-hmm. or you need to get this much air time, or you need to shoot this guy twice, or well, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. You do it this much, and then, you know, you get extra fans. Well, in medium, I can pull off my fan stuff. I just can't win the race. In easy, I can win the race, but because there's nobody around me to hit with the fan demands or anything like that, I can't get my fans. It's a little bit of a catch-22 for me.
Yeah.
Just because, again, go back to the OCD, a part of me where I have to finish first. I have to get all that stuff. So, yeah. And but the single player is very short, especially if you play it on easy. The single player can be very short. There's only like 9 things to do there. But the multiplayer, God, the multiplayer is fun. It is. It's Mario Kart, but online. And it's fun. It's a whole hell of a lot of fun. So, there you go. That's how awesome Blur is. Next tweet comes from Mr. GT Chris. As your unplayed games pile up, is there ever a point where you bail out of the new release race altogether? If only for the sake of your bank account. I have some big expenses coming up, so I'm considering this at the moment. Cheers.
It takes a lot to get me to do that. An awful lot.
Yeah, my problem with that is like a lot of the stuff I want to do is online with friends. And if, you know, all my friends are doing one game with one experience, you know, I want to join in that. So
right,
that's what pressure. I want to do. Yeah. So, I mean, I know I'll always have some
passive
of the
peer pressure, I guess.
Yeah. I know I'll always have some of these games, you know, on the back burner that, you know, like one day I'll finish Dead Space, for instance. But it's not.
I don't know what's up with you motherfuckers in Dead Space.
Dead Space is terribly long.
It's not long. It's like a 12-hour game.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You know, I haven't finished Dragon Age. I think I have a little more of a legitimate excuse there.
I know. I was just throwing that out as an example, but, you know.
It was a bad example. You should finish it. It's a fantastic video game. You should stop playing new releases and go play Dead Space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty much in the situation because, you know.
You were forced into the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to be buying new games, but right now it's just not whatever viable. Whatever comes in my Gamefly queue, you know.
Right. Well, Gamefly is really bad for this.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of changed. Gamefly has changed the way that I deal with new releases.
Mm-hmm. What it means is that it has to be a conscious effort, a deliberate effort, to stop with new releases and only focus on backlog, because the ability to get a hold of new releases is always going to be just, you know, new release or no new release. I'm paying $20 a month for Gamefly.
Yeah.
So something's going to come in. I don't know. I can tell you that right now I feel like I should be doing that. Like in my head, I would really like to finish the two games that I have on my, like the two current releases that I have on my plate right now.
Red Dead and Alan Wake.
Red Dead and Alan Wake. Mm-hmm. And then I would like to make a deliberate effort to finish, I still haven't finished Mass Effect 2, I still haven't finished Bioshock 2, and I still haven't finished Dragon Age from fucking like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Those are things I would like to finish. And then there's the stuff that I just didn't care about anyway, but would have loved to finish under some circumstances, like Dante's Inferno, for example. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what it takes. Yeah,
I understand the circumstance, but yeah, great.
I mean, there are a lot of things, and the guilt piles up after a while, the personal guilt.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's only so much time you got. Yeah,
yeah, it's okay though, because it's. I mean, it is my fault for God's sake. I play MMOs. I play online. You know, I play games online. That's pissing a lot of time away that I could be spending finishing off single player games. You
doing
know?
Your dailies in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I do my JC daily and then go level my shaman. You know, like. That's time I could be spending, you know,
getting through Dante's
Inferno, doing whatever the hell all of those unlikable assholes in Mass Effect want me to be doing.
You know, I never got out of the new released magazine. If it was in terms of finances and whatnot, if cash was low, I'd just go try to rent it if I could, yeah. Of course. In terms of backlog, you know, there's not a lot of games I haven't finished yet. I mean, games I finished but haven't played to completion, like some things I haven't unlocked yet. Case in point is Bayonetta. There's a lot of stuff I haven't unlocked in that game yet. I mean, you have to play it 5, maybe 6 times, beat it 5 or 6 times, and get all the stuff you want to see in there. And I haven't done that yet. And someday, I keep saying I'm gonna go back and finish it, but other stuff keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm. With my problems with my 360 that I'm having recently, I've actually been going back to my PS3 and playing Valkyria Chronicles. I still wanted to pick that up.
I barely even started that shit, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be great if I play this. But I know the requirements to play that game. And I know, and most people, we've talked about this before, and there's the added pressure of this show, you know? And we've really tried to back off of this thing, but it's not even so much self-imposed as it is... self-perpetuating. You have a show. Yeah. Like, you want to talk about what's going on right now, and it's just, that's the energy that's happening when we get together and start talking about things. So if I come in here next week and say, shit, man, I totally wrapped up fucking Braid. Let's talk about the ending. You know, that would be fucking weird.
First, I'd be like, okay, remind me what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's a little bit sort of like, you know, even like... what if, like, if I did that thing, and I would obviously want to say something about it, and I
well, we kind of have don't done get that me wrong, before.
Sort of.
Like when I beat Metal Gear Solid 4, and I mean that was a good while because I just got my PS3. I mean, and you guys like, all right, play it.
Yeah, the thing about that though was no one else had played and beaten it. Really, that wasn't something that we all played and beat.
Well, okay, better example, Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I gave you my take on it, and that was pretty much it. But, you know, you guys had that huge, big discussion where I had left the room about Infamous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we never really came back to it once I had beaten it.
So, I mean, it's...
Which is fine. I didn't care.
Nobody here is going to get upset if we don't. I mean, nobody in our immediate group is going to get really upset. You know, it isn't like we're going to have a talk about how you're letting the fucking show down.
Yeah, we're just not going to have
but
a
But at the same time, I do get fucking irritated that you haven't finished Dead Space, you know?
Yeah.
Or Jeremy gets extremely incensed that I haven't finished Mass Effect 2. Like, I do get that, but there's no overt pressure. Just like, you really need to fucking do this, because I can't talk to you about it. I can't share your opinions or ask your opinions, like, until you beat it. So
stuck in hydroponics.
Never. It's not even a thing, man. Just gonna keep going. So it's there, man. It builds up. The guilt is like severe, and I don't even have an excuse because of time. I could spend every evening I want and all day on both days of the weekend playing whatever the fuck I want, and I don't. A lot of times, I still have a difficult relationship with my consoles. Like, if I'm not in the mood, sometimes I feel like, if I'm not really in the mood, sometimes I feel like I'm forcing myself to do it. And if I sit down and play the game, I find that I'm having an enormous amount of fun.
Yeah.
But
it's getting to that point.
I love my PC, you know? I love my PC. You know, I like its multiple monitors, and I like my laptop sitting there, and I like my thing. You know, my console's not that. So, but that's all old hat. Yeah, it's all I can tell you is that money is never a dictating or a determining factor, ever, because I've always got Gamefly sending me something. So, and I've always got Blockbuster. These are subscription-based services that are always being paid for.
Yeah.
So, new shit's always on tap.
Yeah.
I would have to go out of my way to shut it down. And I should.
And I'm trying to think back to before I used Gamefly, how I handled buying new releases, and I guess I just went and bought them, and I was like, hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I was stuck with. I've done that before. I've made impulse purchases. I make impulse purchases now that I sometimes regret, but not anymore in the video game world. Since I can try so much before I buy.
Yeah.
Or that I'm just that dead set on, like, yeah, fuck, man. They release a Burnout game, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about picking it up from Gamefly or the rental place. I'm fucking buying it. So, yeah, there's a few very, very select titles that happens with. Last Guardian is one that I'm buying you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm buying it.
Are you going to bite the HD remix if that turns out to be
fuck
true?
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That was, I mean, that was...
Yeah.
That wasn't a real question.
I know. I know. It's yeah, totally. I'm going to do that. I'm hoping it's a gigantic collector's edition of Last Guardian that includes the first two in HD.
I think they did pretty well with the way they handled God of War.
Right?
I approve of the way they handled it, but I mean, I think that they believe they did well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they choose to do it.
And I think that will be. And of course, again, this goes
back
to...
These things are not God of War. These are possibly the most critically acclaimed PS2 games in existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And very underrepresented at retail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are critical darlings that didn't do well in sales. So releasing them separately would not only be a good way to reintroduce them to people, but to, you know, roll that over into Last Guardian.
Yeah. Now, again, I think that's something, again, that falls on the point we made earlier, where it's like, let's talk about this 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, it's that's definitely there. Although, you know, I got to say, like, the feeling's always there in my head, and then somebody, you know, usually is insightful enough or going through a period of time like this for themselves to bring up, you know, your backlog. And like, I mean, backlog was always kind of a joke. You know, it was what you did during the summer, just played some old shit.
Until the summer became...
I can't remember the last time I ran out of fucking video games.
Yeah.
It's been like 3 years, 4 years, something like, I don't know, some absurd length of time since I ran out of games.
Even like arcade stuff that, you know, like a Serious Sam that I want.
Man, I gotta tell you, like...
Still go through or...
I think the world was better... My world, the world as I see it, was better when I played shit and then beat it. I will not play like you. I don't fucking 5-star all the way some shit. Never 1,000-pointed a game in my life.
Yeah, it's
and I'm not like you, RJ, where I'm gonna get all the unlocks. I just don't need that.
I just want the storyline.
I have I want more than that. I feel like I have a 20% beyond the storyline kind of thing. Like, I'll do a certain amount of the extras, and then I'll be like, meh, now I'm just doing extras to be done, and that's not good.
You're not going
to
catch every bounty.
I've got my fill, and I feel like I really got everything I wanted to out of it, and that's really a great place to be for me. And I know where that point is. And I don't reach that point very often anymore. I really don't. I let a lot of things rot, and I think that's probably not good. And I don't know what my problem is. I really don't know. I mean, sometimes sometimes it's a lot easier for me to go home and do all my I just got home stuff and then grab a book, you know, and lay down on the couch and read a book all night. I do that. It's just easier, you know. Sometimes I like sitting in front of my PC because I can absolutely turn my fucking brain off and run Heroics and WoW while watching a TV show. You know, like I can multitask and sort of be in that really comfortable, lazy place and still be playing something. You know, I feel Alan Wake sitting there and I'm like, I don't want to give you all my attention because I know that's what I have to do. You know, I gave all my attention all day at work. I don't want to give this single-player game all my attention because that's what it demands. I don't want to load up Red Dead and have some, you know, run a chain of missions for a bunch of assholes I can't fucking stand instead of doing something I'd rather do, you know, because that's how I'll feel, briefly. I get into the game, I'll be all right, but, you know, that's what it is for me. And that's why single-player games are they've become real daunting, you know. They've become...
Daunting things always feel like a chore.
Yes, that's exactly the word I was going to use, and I was going to try to qualify it first. Because it's not the game that's a chore. It's the time between me... It's where I am now, and the difference between that and actually being in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole thing sort of falls away once you're in and realizing, no, it's a game, it's fun. But approaching it is... I don't like it sometimes.
I feel that way about going to the gym. It's like, you know, all the way leading up to, you know, walking through the doors. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. But as soon as you start the exercise or whatever.
You realize why. Like,
all right, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Give it up. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's always the hardest leading up to.
I don't know why I feel that way about single player stuff.
Yeah.
But largely because I can just pour myself into my computer chair and, like, whatever I want to do, man. If I want to read some shit on the internet, if I want to watch some shit on Hulu, if I want to play some WoW, if I want to fucking, like, play some single player shit, like, anything I want to do, I can do from there. It's weird. And I know it's me. I know a lot of people aren't all hung up like that shit. So.
Yeah.
Next one comes from Ger Snort. One of my foolish friends picked up Alpha Protocol, and all I can say is avoid it like a hooker with an outbreak.
Nice, yeah. I wanted to rent it.
After
I heard the horrible shit, I was like, oh man, I gotta see this.
See how bad it is?
Yeah, and it wasn't even available for rent. I couldn't find it. They didn't have it at our local place. So I was like, man, really? Like, they have everything. Because I just spent like a whole bunch of time last episode talking about how they had everything. But apparently...
Everything but.
Well, I mean, maybe they knew. And we're like, whatever, it's a piece of shit. We're not going to pay for the extra... We're not going to pay to have it here, you know, early.
No, we heard stories. We're going to pass on that one.
Yeah, and maybe they did that. I don't know.
He had made another tweet. He didn't direct this to us, but it was kind of in relation to what we were saying. He says, was playing Oblivion, and a friend gave me shit for playing an old game. Do we really all need to be playing the newest thing
all the time?
No,
God, no. Yeah, right. Hey, and thanks for mentioning yet another thing that is very high up on the guilt meter.
Yeah.
Is Oblivion.
Way high. It should be. It's probably the highest as far as 360 or whatever is concerned.
Yeah,
PC. Because I think that's where you played it on PC, though, didn't you? What'd you do? But you did both.
No. Sure. Here's the thing. I have it on both. I have everything on both. I intend to play it and finish it on the 360. Here is my reason. Any game that is moddable, significantly moddable on the PC, I will disappear down a fucking rabbit hole of mods and never actually play the bitch.
Like Fallout 3.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I have to be careful. I will slip the fuck away day after goddamn day, just like loading in a mod and like, oh, I'm going to load it up and play with it. And I'll see, oh, I don't like this gun. I'm going to throw this gun away. And I'm going to go get another gun. And all these skins look really good. Somebody released the high-res texture pack, so I got to load that in and like play with that shit and tweak it and go look at it and modify it. Man, I spent a whole fucking day doing that and never play the game.
Yeah.
So I have to be very careful about stuff like that. And you want to, like, Oblivion is possibly one of the most deeply modified PC games of the modern era. Like, probably, you know, and right ahead of it would be Elder Scrolls 3. Like, the whole Morrowind, like, that shit was fucking crazy, you know? Like... I can't go there, you know. But then again, I'm tempted to because there's a lot of shit in the game that I don't like, which is literally fixable with the flip of a switch on the PC.
Yeah.
You know. So, I don't know. And it's a broke ass fucking game anyway. Like, it's mechanically sprained all to hell. Like, the leveling system is just it's all wrong.
That's what I liked about, you know, on the PC I have it where
you actually fix it automatic,
yeah. Instead of having to sleep.
Yeah. So, well, instead of leveling up based on primary skills, but if you fuck up and your primary skills aren't combat skills and all this other shit, you know, it's all backwards. And I mean, really, Jeremy had it right when he was telling me. He's like, I just turn it down to fucking easy and just go play. Like, you can just get around the entire thing by turning it down, turning all the difficulty down and just playing it, so... I don't know. God damn it, that game.
Yeah. Well, while we're still on the subject, Jesus, this is...
Because I got the Game of the Year edition, and I still have to do...
Knights of the Nine,
Knights of the Nine, and also Shivering Isles.
Yeah.
So.
God.
Well, in that game is absolutely just... It scared me a little. I mean, I had played Morrowind, but Oblivion was different. Oblivion had a density to it that just... I couldn't deal with. I would walk into a random fucking cave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not like one of the little things you can blow through in like 15 minutes, but like any of the motherfucking ruin things.
Yeah.
Like you can walk into those and it's like,
you're there for a good while.
Like 2 hours, yeah. You know? And it's just some fucking cave, man.
And I'm treating it like I did with Red Dead. You go to
every town, like every little piece of shit, 4 sticks laid up against a tree.
Yeah.
And there's like whole storylines running through that shit. And I'm like, yeah. Man, I can't hack it. There's too much going on.
Yeah, because like on my character, I'm like high level 20s or so. I'm pretty good up there, but I have yet even to go into the first Oblivion Gate. You know, I
hate them bitches.
You know, as soon as you get out of the castle to start the main storyline to get the necklace, I haven't even done that yet. But I've been doing so much of everything else.
Yeah. It's so too much. Like, it's too much. Overwhelming. Just fucking like destroys my positronic net completely.
Yeah.
But sorry. You were saying,
Scott. Yeah.
Well, no,
that's very sorry.
Yeah, all these tweets we've gotten on backlogs. Here's another one from Cal Elmdor. Hey guys, what games from the past 3 years do you still really mean to play but can't seem to get to? Yeah. Mine are Infamous and Killzone 2.
Past 3 years.
The past 3 years.
Infamous, I highly recommend. Killzone 2.
Pretty.
It's quite. Damn it, it's a pretty game.
Since 07?
Didn't play very well. I've mentioned, I think, most of mine here already.
Yeah. Well, in the past 3 years, though.
You know, Dead Space, obviously. I will finish that. Valkyria Chronicles. Yeah. Since I got back into that today, I'm like, this is fun.
Yours have been in the past couple of months and, you know, November, I mean, I guess, if you count Dragon Age.
I'm counting Oblivion, you know. It belongs in the past 3 years because it's remained unplayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say Dragon Age and Oblivion are my big ones.
I've been finding, like, a lot of the stuff on Steam, too, that I'm like, oh, hey, Beyond Good and Evil. I never finished that.
Shit can't count, though. That just cannot count. You can't reach into a manufactured retail backlog, buy a bunch of shit, and then feel guilty about a backlog. Like, you can't do that shit. You got to let yourself off the hook for that. I'm not going to feel bad because I ain't played Sniper Elite just because Scott gifted it to me.
Yeah, but, you know, I think there's a big
difference. I'm not going to feel bad about that shit.
Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, Sniper Elite and...
But there's not a difference in picking up a game that's already fucking old.
True.
That was my point.
Yeah.
And also I was trying to be funny, but yeah. I know I'm missing probably something.
I want to finish Borderlands.
Yeah. That's one I barely got into before. I was like, no, too much time. So there's stuff to play.
Because I've been doing that where, like, you know, every side mission, everything, you know, I had to, you know, before I could progress in the storyline, I had to, like, I don't want to have any undone missions.
Fallout 3 expansions.
Yeah.
I have one left.
Mothership. I bought all them bitches, man. And like,
I haven't played a single one.
I've told you, I played...
Anchorage.
I played Anchorage and I played...
The Pit.
And I hated the fucking off. Pit. And I just got angry. And I was like, I hate everybody here. I hate you all. I hate you.
But then I heard they redeemed themselves with Mothership Zeta.
That's the one I'm on right now.
Well, but if you're playing chronologically according to... Mm-hmm. Their release, the next thing I got to do is Broken Steel.
Right, right.
Which is a lot more like...
Yeah, but that's just end of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but yeah, you know? And so then I've got...
Point Lookout.
Point Lookout and
Mothership.
I mean, I'm not... I expect them to be okay, but... Dude, you don't understand. Like, I lived and breathed Fallout 3 while that was out. I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I modded the shit out of it, and I lived inside of it and played it, and every day I would spend forever there and just did every little thing I could. And it's difficult to go back to something like that that you spent so much time in, you know? I just hit a wall.
I'm at a point in the pit where, you know, because I'm trying to get all the ingots.
Fuck them things, man. I know, them. You should fun kill everybody.
But
all assholes.
For some reason, my game's, you know, having clipping errors where I'm trying to get up
on PC or 360.
And as soon as I'm trying to, you have to cross a roof up in the steel mill area because you have little ladders. As soon as you get off the ladder, I fall straight through to my death.
I know another game, Blue Dragon. I never beat that.
Fucking Lost Odyssey.
I've beaten Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, that's I forgot about that until you mentioned Blue Dragon. I was like, man, at least I don't have any JRPG.
Oh, shit.
Fucker.
And man, that one's worth getting to the
end. I suppose.
You really need to.
Yeah, you see, though, here's a real problem. JRPGs are the worst fucking thing in the world to go back to. Because you're like...
I had to start over when I like, I dropped Lost Odyssey for a while. And it's yeah. like, oh, no, I start from the beginning. I was like, I what was the right fuck at
is,
the end.
Yeah, and like, but what the fuck is going on with these... Like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Like, how do we play?
Yeah.
No
yeah,
idea.
This is a big one.
I did the demo for Eternal Sonata, and you know, I'm curious about that one.
I bought that. I still have it, I think. Really, like, just a darling little game, but no, I mean, it was at a point when I wanted to love a JRPG again, yeah. So I bought a couple, and I was like, wow.
It was pretty.
I am not this kind of dude anymore.
You know, I have yet to finish Twilight Princess also.
Yeah, I'm didn't start that shit, so I don't feel bad about it.
I'm at the last boss battle with Ganondorf, and just for some reason, I just never finished.
You ain't got nothing on me, my friend. Wind Waker.
He is at the last boss.
He is
outside the doors of the last fight.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember this is, 7 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
Not he went through after. All the shit with the Triforce. Can't be bothered to
no, it was it, no, it was brilliant because it was like seven years ago. It was right after Dana and I started going out. We would go up to Scott's house and like, you know, Dana and I didn't have shit at the time. You know, we were born broke and stupid and everything. And like, so we go up to Scott's house and we play stuff and watch stuff and just like a thing. You know, now that we live literally one block away from each other, we don't ever hang out.
We don't.
But back when we lived like 30 miles apart, we hang out like 3-4 times a week. It was great. And like, we would go up there and just hang out. You know, that was one of the things we did. He would play through Wind Waker and we would all
just
hang out and watch.
Yeah. And the rule was, I didn't play Wind Waker unless they were over there because yeah. they were following everything along. So
he got all the way up to the end and it was like, I was just late as hell. You know, it was like a weeknight or something. Just late as fuck. Like, after midnight, everybody had to get up and go to work the next morning. So he was like, oh, just pick it up. You know,
so like, last boss, we'll stop here. And
And, you know, when you come back, we'll like we'll do that and then we'll start on something else.
Then they moved down the street.
And that was like, nah, but it wasn't even like, I mean, that was like 7 years ago. And we just somehow never, ever, ever did it. I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know whether to finish it or not finish it now.
Oh, no.
I don't know which one would be more epic.
It's almost, it's just a tradition that I don't finish that. It's got to be that, that's got to be the legacy.
Yeah.
That I never finished.
But I mean, wouldn't it feel good to put that to bed? To that one little piece of guilt?
I don't even have my GameCube hooked up anymore. It's now my Wii.
Yeah, Wii.
I'd have to play it with a completely, my Wavebird. I still have a Wavebird.
Yeah, Wavebird still works.
I think we should do it at some point. It would be nice.
We all have a big get together and record it.
Yeah, we should. It would be.
I don't remember how to play it.
No, that's why we should record it.
Yeah,
I think that's a brilliant idea.
While we're doing that, we can play through Code Veronica. Look for those sunglasses.
Yeah, he said within the last 3 years. When was Uncharted released?
Uncharted was released in 2007.
The end of it.
Yeah, false. Never played that one.
Seven or six.
No, it couldn't have been that long ago.
Yeah, it was seven, yeah.
Yeah, because we were talking about it on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's one that you should play.
Yeah.
The guilt is obviously worse if you've played partway through something and it stopped, rather than never picked it up at all.
But I've seen enough of it in action at friends' homes and everything like that. I mean, sitting right there watching them and... Colt held my interest, sure, but I just never had the desire to go pick it up.
That's okay. You shouldn't feel too bad about that.
It should be a greatest hits title for like
20 Yeah, bucks they're or weird about that shit, dude. Heavenly Sword is still not a greatest hits title. Yeah. I don't even know if.
Was that a launch game?
Yeah,
launch title.
Yeah, it's still like $50. It's ridiculous.
And I believe the same goes for, now I can't remember the damn title of the game. The dragon game.
Lair.
Lair, that's what
that's
it is.
Still, yeah, that's overpriced. Still expensive.
It's weird. Ridiculous. And Lair
is 20.
Heavenly Sword, I know what that game is. And it's something I would probably have bought for like $15 or $20. But you can't even find it used for that cheap because the new price is so high.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even used, it still goes for like...
30s. Yeah.
I think used was like which is repulsive.
Never spending that much. Not when you can get something like fucking what do you call it for like 10. The one with the thing when he throws the thing, you know.
Dark Sector.
Yeah, Dark Sector. All right.
I know it's like way past the 3-year mark, But I never finished Monkey Island 4.
Oh, Jesus. What's the next tweet?
What?
The next tweet, please.
Yeah. Shut up. Dor says, Alan Wake discussion, please. I am loving the bite-sized chunks it lets you play in. Jeremy, it would be perfect for you.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. I like it.
No? Bad impression?
No.
All right. Really
bad. Jesus Christ.
When are you leaving again?
Sunday.
I feel bad because I had totally been like, oh yeah, next show we'll totally be able to talk about it. And like I said, Dana ate the game over the weekend. I didn't get a chance to play it at all. I'm really desperate to now.
Have you stayed away from watching her play it? I mean, you're not.
Yeah,
there.
She's so weird. She would do this. All right, like I said, it was dark and stormy around here all weekend, and she was like. I kept trying to be like, go play Alan Wake if you want to play Alan Wake. Just go get it done with and just go play it so that I can play it. And she'd be like, you know, we were in two separate rooms. I'm in the computer room. She's in the game room.
So whatever monster's coming for you, she'll see it first before you will.
Well, but the thing is, she'd be like, every now and then, like, you know, because I could kind of hear her playing just the noise. And she'd stop it and be like, are you still there? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay. And like... She startles so easily, like so unbelievably easily.
Is it a squeak or is it she yell?
It's a yell.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I have to be extremely deliberate. I have to kind of be like, I'm walking around the corner now.
Moving in the kitchen.
She can't see me coming.
Right.
And so every now and then she would get up and I'd be sitting at my computer and she'd walk in and she'd be like, it's real scary. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a fucking horror game. It's supposed to be scary. She's like, I just wanted you to know. And then she'd go back in and play for a while. And then at the end of every... at the end of every chapter... she would turn the volume way the fuck up. And then come stand in my dorm way and, like, dance to whatever song was playing.
Haunted by Poe. And
yeah.
I do like the...
Yeah, so she would have a little dance. Like, I made it through a chapter and I'm so happy and I'm dancing to this music. And I'm like, it's... I had no idea what was going on in the game, but I was like, this is kind of fun. The music is always very... It's something about not knowing what's happening in the game, but knowing how specific the music is and how it's a real departure from what you would experience in a game normally made me appreciate what I imagined to be the overall design of the game, like, from a distance. And then, like, the song would fade out and it would be like... Previously on Alan Wake, and I'd have to like run away.
Oh yeah.
So I haven't seen shit. I've still only been through the first act, and she's like in somewhere late in Act 4.
I really hate that they do that too. I wish it was more of a next time on Alan Wake and kind of give you a preview rather than just immediately going previously. Because what I like to do is I let the song fade, and then I don't want to hit the button to continue. I want to hit the button to be like, okay, I'm done. You know. And when I start it back up, then that's when I want them to tell me previously on.
Yeah.
Not immediately after.
Oh, whatever.
And I'll tell you, the game that does that is Split Second. And I know he wants to talk about Alan Wake, but...
Well, I don't have enough to say right now.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I feel like I owe it. Like, yeah. It's the perfect kind of game for us to deal with.
I'm midway through Chapter 3.
I mean, I rarely want to do this, but I kind of want to be like, let's play the game so we can talk about it. Because it is exactly the kind of... I mean, it's a very... It is exactly the kind of game you want to talk about.
Yeah.
We just haven't done enough to say anything about it. It's just the exact kind of thing that guys like us are supposed to put on the other end of a spoiler tag at the end of our show. Yeah. It's exactly that game. Mm-hmm. That we haven't done that is a little bit shameful. So,
I mean, let me go on a little bit of my Alan Wake shenanigans, I guess you could say. Middle of Chapter 3, you know, got through the halfway, because there's, I guess, a halfway point through some of the chapters.
I don't know that because I told you I'm in chapter 1.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that until I tried to load up, you know, previously. I'm like, oh, look, they have a halfway point through the chapters. But, or at least in that one. But, yeah, I'm halfway through. Then all of a sudden, I'm getting attacked on all sides by, you know, the darkness or, you know, the lost or whatever.
The lumberjacks.
Yeah, the lumberjacks. And my TV makes a screeching sound, and then it just freezes my system up. And so I'm like, ah, well, that sucks. So I, you know, reboot the system and then start playing through, and, you know, loads up the menu system, and I hit, all right, continue. Then I take two steps and same thing. And it like happened like four times. So I'm thinking, all right, well, it looks like I have a corrupt save file. Let me go back and...
thank God I'm only in chapter three.
Yeah, so I went, I'll load chapter three again, thinking I had to start from the beginning of it. And that's when I realized, oh, no, there's a second, middle point save. So I'm like, I'll go from there. And then it kept on doing that. And that happened yesterday. And, so today I was like, all right, let me try it on another game. Maybe it's just the disc. Maybe something's wrong because my drive's making, really wonky noises. So I put in Red Dead Redemption. And it doesn't make the noise for the game, when the drive's accessing, but it did the same thing with the screen freezing and, locking out my system. So, I went back today and installed Alan Wake to the hard drive. Same thing. So my Xbox is, it's one of the launch elites, and I think it's, gasping its last breath.
Yeah, it's on its last legs.
So... that's why I'm having a little trouble. As soon as I probably once I get back from Texas, I'll get a new Xbox and play it.
Yeah, somewhere. You got really no choice. There ain't shit you can do with a 3-year-old Xbox.
Yeah,
it's sad to say, but yeah, that's true.
Doorstop.
No, but lately these
hard to practice.
In just
trade into GameStop.
The span of a week, we've had three games that use this previously on episodic type. Play. Alan Wake does this, each episode previously on. Split Second is based around it being a reality TV show. So each section are episodes. And Split Second does the same thing. As soon as you're finished with that one episode and you select the next episode you want to go to, it, puts credits at like the very bottom of the screen and says next time on Split Second from the episode you choose and shows you these highlights from what's coming up. And when you go into play and previously on that sort of thing, Blur is the same way. It's not based on episodes, but it's got all these sections. But whenever you start up Blur after you've played it for a while, it says previously on Blur, you unlock these cars. You played this, you got this much. You've only got this much to go to unlock this. You I need to go back and talk about the friend challenges with Blur. But tells you friend challenges that have come up or ones that you've conquered, that sort of thing. I kind of like this method. I realize there's chapter sections in games, but let's look at a game like Dante's Inferno. Chapters just start, when you go into the next level of hell, but you're still there. It doesn't actually forcibly stop the game. You can keep going. And that's one of the things that you kind of, I think I'll go a little bit further to the next save point or something like that. Alan Wake, I don't ever plan to stop in the middle of an episode. I never plan to stop playing in the middle of an episode. If I start an episode, I'm going to finish that episode. Yeah. I may only do one a night or something like that, but that's it. And I kind of like that. It kind of has divided up my style of playing. Red Dead Redemption, I can't... Obviously, there's your...
You just get lost in it.
Oh, my God. You just play and play and play. And Blur's multiplayer is kind of the same way, but it's single player is chopped up into sections. If I can finish that one section, I can stop. But, I've already told you how bad the single player is in Blur. Or at least my relationship to it. But yeah, I like the fact that I can do these things and I can stop. And I can do that in other games too, but it's the stopping
Heavy
point.
Rain was kind of like that without the whole previous or next. But, I had it, broken down into, the chapters also. Little bite-sized chunks of
gameplay. Yeah, that's true. It did.
It was a little clumsier.
Yeah.
Then it I think, could have benefited from more structure.
And I suppose maybe it was the fact that maybe there was nothing else out there for me to play at that time. And again, Heavy Rain was a game that we were all trying to get through and go in and do and that sort of thing to have that discussion about.
Deadly Premonition. Again, we mentioned the game.
You're such a whore for that.
This is a great game and nobody else has played it. You're all like, oh, Heavy Rain, let me figure out how to shave these buttons.
Hey, I was all like,
I have one button.
I didn't have anything good to say about Heavy Rain. I was busy not having good things to say about things. So I don't know. Isn't there plenty not good to be said about Deadly Premonition?
Yeah, there is.
Because I've tried to read about it, and I'm like, well, maybe this is just universally acclaimed by the small number of people who've played it. And I read a little bit, and I was like, well, no, that's clearly not the case. So
there is a lot of things that are like, what? And there's also a lot of stuff that's done really well. So
I think it's worth playing.
Never, at least. I'm never picking it up because I don't need another goddamn game that I'm only going to play halfway. I'm already hip deep in guilt thanks to our Twitterers.
Keep them coming, folks. I like this. Okay, Matt of Steel says, hey, E-Triple is just around the corner. Who do you think will win, the Wave, Move, or Vitality Sensor?
Move's my horse, man.
He called it the Wave, which is interesting.
What?
Said Natal?
Instead of Natal, yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
I had heard the rumor, yeah.
Yeah. You know. I, like I said, for my money, I like what the Move is doing better. But that doesn't, I mean, I'm not 100% behind it. But if you want to lay the two technologies side by side, I'm more interested in it. From a practical game playing user perspective, from a purely technical point of view, it's rudimentary as hell, which is why I think it'll actually work better. So technologically, I think Natal, Wave, what the fuck ever, is going to be more interesting. I think it's just more interesting tech, but I don't know. I think the less we have to hear about that shit over the course of E3, the more likely we are to all win. Yeah. The more I could just hear about good games, solid release dates, promises that will be kept, and such like. But yeah, I mean, what do you want from that? What do you want from that shit? What do you want to be hearing about in 2 weeks?
Not those things.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking you to...
Yeah, those things aren't even concerned.
What do you want? What is on your wish list, no matter how... I don't want to say no matter how crazy, but... I want to see Infamous 2.
Yeah.
They had the Portuguese magazine.
Yes, I saw it. I saw that. I want to see that, and I want a nice solid release date for it. I would like it to be this fall. I know it will be. I would really like that. I we were mentioning this before we started recording, but one of the things I'm most excited about is Valve's been really gaming the Portal 2 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in very typical Aperture Science style, they revoked the official Portal 2 announcement.
Yeah. I worked really hard to get into the Portal 2 event. I worked really hard trying to find a contact to be like, hey, can I get an invite to this? And I finally got one. And then the first headline I saw wasn't that, you know, I didn't see the whole...
You didn't see the real thing.
I didn't see the tongue-in-cheek about it. All I heard was they canceled the event. I thought, motherfucker, I worked so hard to get into that thing. And then I saw that, I thought, I'm still good.
That's all a joke. And I think the COG forums are a really good place to go for irrational predictions.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead 3.
Left 4 Dead 3 is a very good joke. But there's any number of things that could be completely legitimate. I mean...
What was that? A screenshot we saw of Half-Life Episode 3.
It was a bullshit screenshot.
Okay. I just saw a picture. I didn't actually see
it. It's already been deemed fake.
Damn it.
That doesn't mean there's no Episode 3.
I know.
Doesn't mean that one of them faked it anyway, just to kind of do what they were doing, you know? Yeah.
Well, here's the real question about
that
shit. It's hard
to call on Valve, you know?
There is no... Valve, they're very peculiar. They're not going to... They're not just going to leave Episode 2, Half-Life 2 episode. That's not the end. They will finish it. But a lot of the speculation revolves around what their current attitude toward episodic content really is. Has it been too long? Is Episode 3 even... Is it even something they can release? I mean, we've talked about this, I think, on the show. There's no way these guys can't put together Episode 3. These guys are megalithic. They're like gods. You can't make a 5-hour campaign out of your 7-year-old game engine. Like I know you can do that. What you're doing is deliberate. You've got all the money you could possibly want. You've got the distribution method sewn up. Like this is not a problem for you.
So it must be something else.
I have to wonder if it was going to be kind of the situation Left 4 Dead 2 was in, where they've come up with so many new ideas, like, well, we kind of need to put together a whole new game for this.
That's one of the very legitimate things. It's like, are they going to... Now, I don't think they're going to push ahead with Half-Life 3, necessarily. I think that's probably topping it a bit too high. I also don't think they're ready to revolutionize their tech. I'm actually still quite happy with the Source engine. Thank you very much. I know it's not... I know it's not, like, Crisis, but it's amazingly scalable. Like
and it works.
But just new game mechanics.
No. Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people are saying, well, maybe they're not doing an Episode 3. Maybe they're just going to do Half-Life 3. And I think it's probably more likely that they would say, if they would ever do Half-Life 3. And that's a big if.
Yeah.
They would probably wait until such a time they're ready to launch a new platform of some kind or a new tech or something. It's their flagship product. But just the simple act of releasing Episode 3, it's grown beyond its own proportions. It's become mythical, you know? And maybe they will. Maybe they'll just release it and they'll say it'll be out in October and it'll be like 5 hours worth of gameplay that wraps the whole thing up. But a lot of people are thinking that's unlikely at this point. That what they'll actually do is maybe bridge the two.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I wonder if they're going to do like the Avengers thing, where they're like, you know, each little movie that's coming out has a little bit, you know, hinting towards something bigger between like the Half-Life world and we know.
Well, there's
portals in the same universe.
So what exactly is happening? I mean, in terms of the game design, that's the big question. Are they going to release a single episode, a full-fledged game, or are they going to split the difference between the two? You're going to give me maybe like 7 or 8 hour campaign. I mean, are we going to try to actually end this fucking story? Mm-hmm. Because there's only, there's only one thing that can happen, and that's the thing has to end at the Borealis.
Yeah,
like that's. There's nowhere else to go. That was the whole fucking point. How deeply it's integrated into the Portal universe as well is like, I mean, we know that was. To some degree, it was kind of a joke. It was always a joke, initially, that took place in the Half-Life universe. And as time went on, it looked like maybe it wasn't that big a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, like maybe it really was.
Instead of just like throwing a picture of Black Mesa.
Yeah, and maybe they intended deeper integration. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that they are pretty heavily integrated. So given how far outside the design parameters of Portal 2 seems to be, could we be looking at some really strange hybridized Portal Half-Life Episode 3, not an expansion, not a full game thing? Because look at the last major retail release that they had. We like to talk about these things as separate entities.
Orange Box.
But it was Orange Box.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was wrapped up in
that debuted Episode 2, debuted Team Fortress 2, debuted Portal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Along with the fact that it came with Half-Life 2 and Episode 1.
That's how they delivered all that new product to market. It's exactly how they did it.
Yeah.
So
Orange Box 2?
Is releasing a sequel? I mean, is a sequel to Portal going to be a full, super-fledged game? I mean, I think it could be. And that's fine, but... Is it going to be?
I think it's more like we're going to be packed in with other things.
Right. So are we looking at a package deal with Episode 3 and Portal 2 and them having an awful lot to do with one another, being really deeply tied one to the other?
Counter-Strike 2 or something like that. Eh?
And you could leave all that out of it. I mean, I don't think there's anything else imminent with that. But, I mean, there might be. I don't know.
So I'd say 2 weeks we'll know.
But you wanna watch the ears of the internet fucking perk up.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking
Valve really, really knows how to do it. And say what you will about Halo fanboys, there is nothing in this world like real good salt of the earth PC gaming fanboys when you give them something to truly love.
Yeah.
And you start talking about the continuation of the most venerable, I guess, series in modern PC gaming, or possibly in PC gaming altogether. Like, yeah, I fucking care, you know? And I'm willing to go to ridiculous lengths in my imagination and believe some really stupid shit in the hopes that it'll be true. So, that's a very, very big deal. And as usual, I think a few people have pocket secret announcements. Does Obsidian have one? I want to say that they have one. Rockstar was supposedly going to have one, but they've pulled out of the show.
And they pulled out of the show, yeah.
Which sucks, because I wanted to see something about... I wanted to see some Max Payne 3 stuff. And I guess not.
Well, that's not to say that you won't see it. Because, you know, Valve didn't debut Left 4 Dead 2. Microsoft debuted Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, but Max Payne's not on anybody else's list, is it? I mean, pretty much know, for the most part, what everybody's going to be showing, as long as it isn't a secret, unannounced project, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just what you may or may not see. I mean, shit, it was the weirdest thing was at E3 last year.
It was Bethesda's planning a secret announcement, not a
Bethesda. Oh, that's right, it was Bethesda. At E3 last year, I go to Ubisoft's press conference. And,
which,
you know,
fuck them if it's the next Elder Scrolls. I'm not finished with the last one. Although, it's about time.
Yeah.
But I go to Ubisoft's press conference, and there is no gameplay shown of Assassin's Creed 2. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no video, I think, or maybe a trailer. But there was no gameplay shown. There was nobody coming out and said, here's our live demo. I had to go to Sony's press conference to see that.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Which I thought was very, very odd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of like what you might see in some places like this, where it's like the developers of this game might not be there, but there could be a new trailer shown at one of these other big three press conferences for a game that's coming out on their system that year or whatever, even if it's a multi-platform, which Assassin's Creed 2 was. There was no gameplay of it at Microsoft's. There was no gameplay of it at Ubi's, which the fucking dev and publisher. And there was at Sony's. So it was interesting to see that how that plays out, and so that's always interesting to see what they show you. That may not be coming directly from them, but you know, something that's going to be on their system. So
I want to, you know, sort of off topic it for a second, you know, from the tweets and stuff. But I know you us three have been to E3. Have either of you two been?
No, I've been to PAX once.
What was y'all's favorite? I guess like. Booth experience. Like
I've only been to the two. The past
he's
two.
He's only been to the past two, which are of the modern era.
Yeah.
We've all been to the old ones. Era. Yeah.
So you're going to talk about Kings of Hall.
They're vastly different things. They're not even remotely the same. And the E3 of our time, dead and gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the E3 of our time was the only thing that mattered. In an entire year of shit. It was for a certain type of game, you know, like TGS was a big deal, but really that's it. And now it's like, we live in a world where a major publisher can pull out of E3 and you're sort of like, yeah, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I still love the trade show, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the booth experience matters for shit anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that, and I was thinking my two favorite booths that I remember from 98 and 99 was 98 Konami booth. When they had Metal Gear Solid.
Was when they announced that was the year of MGS, the year of Silent Hill.
You know, going into their booth section was fantastic.
Being able to play that game was a big deal to me.
Well, even like Nintendo's was, you know, granted the Pokemon was, you know, what it became, but you know, for the not knowing what it was, like, interesting. But in 99, going to Oddworld Inhabitants. Sitting through the I'm a big fan of the Oddworld series and their whole thing, but for the Abe's Exodus, the second one, you know, they gave you like a banana, you know, slushy or, you know, smoothie, you know, in a cup and like some stickers and all, like all this kind of like really great stuff, and you'd watch the video, and you know, I kind of miss those, you know, those kind of booth experience, or even the thrill kill, you know, their booth. Yeah.
Well, your best way to relate that now would be to PAX.
PAX? Yeah. Kind of like that?
As far as their booth experiences, yes, because the booth experiences at E3 are so much different. I mean, the first year I went, they didn't have booths.
It's not even... It's,
we went into an office.
Yeah, it's not about that anymore.
Yeah.
Back when we would go, you would show up to the booth, and each booth had essentially a public and a private section.
Yeah.
I mean, they had private areas where
LucasArts
they would go.
LucasArts was that
but
way.
For the most part... There was a front of house and a back of house to every single booth. And if you had a press pass, like we did on our second trip,
could have beers with
you. You would go into the back and you would sit down and a dude would hang by you and be like, hey man, if you got any questions, like, mm-hmm. let me know. And like, it was not quite what it is today.
Yeah.
It was a lot, the pressure was a lot lower. They would feed you beers, you know, or even something as simple as bottled water, which was, you know, on the show floor.
Nice.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
And like, you sit down and have maybe like 15, 20 minutes in front of the game, which is never enough. That much hasn't changed.
But yeah.
It was lower pressure. The movement through everything was really good because you were into and out of what was essentially, I mean, it technically wasn't public. I guess it was press and industry, you know. And it was fun. You walk into the booth and the guys were there and you just go behind the curtain and, you know, you see the thing. And it was really, I mean, I liked it, you know. It was not quite right, but I mean, I like E3 as a trade show. I do, and I've said this before. I never liked the idea that E3 should just devolve and disappear. I don't. I think it's important for our love of the thing. I mean, video games are competitive, but we don't have showdowns exactly. We don't have. Sports would not work correctly if they didn't culminate every season in a specific championship lead up or you know, pennant race or
the big
championship
game.
Series, yeah, or yeah. The Final Four or the Super Bowl or any, you have to have that. It's, you need a focus, and yeah. even if it's not even at the end of something, because video games are so hype oriented and because frankly it's really fun because they're a progressive form of entertainment, you know, this is kind of, in terms of energy, it's a lot like a sporting event. You know, like just the raucous, ridiculous hype. It's like a concert and a sporting event and Sundance, you know, all in one. It's as close as we kind of get to having that sort of thing. I think it's really important. Otherwise, a year in video gaming would simply be drudging through quarterly press releases about shit. And whatever they say about it, E3 is something that public relations groups can't control. They have to participate in it. Our sort of bullshit expectations and our ridiculous need for pomp and showmanship and cajoling forces them into a place where they're not 100% in control. And I don't like the idea of them being in control all the time. I don't like them being entirely in control of their own message. I like the fact that the cleverest man with the best message and the most interesting product barking his wares on a stage gets the best press. And a year later, the guy who kept the majority of his promises keeps most of the goodwill. Like, it's important to me. It's very important. Having said that, I don't know that E3 is a thing worth going to anymore, because I'm going to get all of that watching my TV in the office.
I can tell you from the emails I've gotten this year, no. Last year was fun to get emails and have meetings with Bethesda or yeah. with Warner Brothers for Batman and for all this other shit. This year, I have gotten so many emails from these, like, we're producing new protective screens for your iPhone. Yeah. Or we've got peripherals out the fucking ass. Yeah. Oh, God. And, like, protective screen or protective new charge stations for your whatever. Just tons of shit.
Yeah. Fuck your accessory condoms. Show me videos of things that I don't know exist yet. That's
the crazy third-party Korean guy that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying the real fucking juice of what E3 is, and it's bullshit, empty calorie juice. I still think we all need it, and I thrive on it for that 1 week out of the year. And it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
But it's a great thing for that week, you know, or for like a span of time. The week before, the week of, and maybe a week after as you kind of get some
digest through all this stuff.
Yeah, and I like the fact that I'm going to turn on my TV and watch the coverage and keep refreshing the live blogs
mm-hmm.
and stuff, like, and really, really drink it in, you know. Through all these methods that didn't exist 10 years ago when I went.
Yeah.
So, I love it. I think it's terrific, but I don't have any desire to go anymore because I don't want to do the hard legwork of the men who are there to get the information and distribute it to their magazine or website. I don't want to do that any longer.
If it was in Atlanta, would you? Because I know one of the big
no, because I know what I really got out of it.
Yeah,
it's like a theme park excursion, only it's not anymore. It's you get just as you can get enough just by watching the coverage.
Okay,
and it didn't used to be that way. It used to be an extremely. It wasn't hard to get in. You could bullshit your way in.
We have twice,
right? But I mean, honestly, think back. There wasn't any TV coverage of that shit 10 years ago. There was barely any web coverage. What you had to do was wait for the first issue of your gaming magazine after E3.
Yeah.
And that was where all the real coverage... E3 could happen and come and go and be gone, and you wouldn't actually have known a whole hell of a lot about it.
Until a month later.
Until somewhere from 2 to 4 weeks later, which is where all the real coverage came in. And that's obviously not great. That's very, you know... that wasn't particularly indicative of... information technology, you know.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's a little bit better than that. And I know they're playing to those strengths, but I mean, I'm glad you're going. I'm glad for you that you're going and everything, but I don't expect for you to come back with a whole lot of shit that I'm not going to know anyway.
No. All I'll have is the experience of messing around with that shit that they talked about.
Sure,
that's
important.
That's usually what you come away with. Usually everything you need to know about E3 happens at the press conferences.
For the most part. And that shit, dude, that shit was totally, totally some. Nobody fucking cared 10 years ago. They weren't what they are now.
Yeah, no.
Like, they're not. I mean, they were there and they would make announcements, but it was like it was like the weekend when you would actually see all of that shit that mattered a great deal. Yeah, I mean, I still love it. It's just a totally different thing now.
Yeah, last year I correctly predicted the reveal of Crackdown 2, and this year I think we'll get
that was quite fun.
That was fun
the way that
yeah
way
I know that which I gotta find out. Nah, we'll talk about
yeah,
that
right.
I really
appreciate
this year that. I think I hope it's this way. So far it hasn't been. So far whenever they've revealed new features for the Dash on Xbox on the 360, it's always been, and in November you'll get these features. Yeah. You'll get Netflix and Twitter, and which was a fucking bust, but Netflix great.
Yeah,
Twitter and Facebook.
They delivered it. It just didn't.
Yeah, this year I really hope they learn from that experience though, and be like, hey, if you turn on your Xboxes right now, you'll download an update, unlimited friends.
Yeah,
which is what I'm hoping for.
Since they've because of the manner in which they timed the nuking of old lives.
Yeah. Is enough time for them to roll out and test and whatever. Or a new way of maybe doing that, but expanding that friends list greatly.
The ability to say, if you go to your Xboxes right now, to really be communicating.
Love those. God, I love
to
those.
To really be communicating.
They haven't done that in a while, by the way.
But if they, anybody who does that sort of shit, and that was actually one of the things that people were hoping that Valve would do. Like,
if you get on Steam
make
right
an
now.
Announcement, and by the way, this is on Steam right now.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're real good at doing that shit. Speaking of which, like, I got kind of a boner for Hulu on the 360.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Yeah,
I find that I am extremely excited by that. I mean, I like a long time back, I didn't really give a shit so much for Hulu. I don't like watching TV. I don't like normal basic cable, but I have to have it because of my girlfriend, because of how she does everything in the world. And I've been looking for an angle for fucking years to get her off of, because if it was just me, I'd have internet pipe and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's tough to get her to move from like one paradigm that she's sort of invested in to a completely different one. Jeremy's all about having this arcane fucking Rube
system.
Goldberg. Yeah. You know, that's not a home theater system, dude. It's like fucking Doc Brown's laboratory. Hooked up to a 46-inch LCD. Like, yeah. It's this absolute Rube Goldberg device, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he's still... He acts like it's no big thing. But, like, any number of days during the week, he gets support calls from his wife at home. like, because something, you know, like some little thing will happen. It happens less often than it used to, but I've tried to tell him I cannot train my girlfriend to do this. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. Like, I cannot teach her to do this thing that you've done. It's too complicated. I would do it if I was alone, but I can't. I need better ways to get her off the cable.
And Hulu would be a great way to do it. Because
it's not a cost issue, man. If I nuked the cable TV, it was like $30 a month. Man, I don't give a fuck. $30 a month, whatever. The problem is that the quality of shit that's constantly being barfed into my fucking living room, swear to God, it makes me sick. I don't like random just watching TV-ness. I don't, mm-hmm. because it's trash. It's all fucking trash. I like my Netflix a lot. I wish they would go ahead and just get rid of that bullshit vestigial one disc agreement. And just like, man, I don't want your fucking discs. How about I pay the $10 a month for the one disc plus streaming and you just don't send me a disc?
Yeah.
I don't want your stupid fucking disc. I pay $10 a month for the streaming because I love it. It's great. As long as they increase their library of stuff available on the stream,
yeah. I am newer happy. Stuff available. So I was looking for some movies, you know, in a nostalgia mood, you know, and I wanted to watch Young Guns, and you know they didn't have it on streaming. I'm like, eh.
Did you check online, not just on your yes. Xbox? Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's.
Yeah, that's what
the whole library is not viewable on the Xbox.
Yeah. No, I checked. It was because I have my computer hooked up to my TV. And, you know, I figured by the time, you know, like, you know, getting the disc and then, you know, having it come in, by that time, you know, the mood's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, oh, well.
Fuck the disc. Yeah. Discs are stupid. Little plastic discs are stupid. But.
So I watched Karate Kid instead.
Yeah. But, like, Hulu's very, very good for what I want to do. I can just have it on, like, on my computer and watch stuff. And I've gotten much more comfortable with just using Hulu for a lot of things. It's not perfect, but. It's big media acting a lot more like how I want them to act.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to do it. And they still don't really want to do it. Because they're a dinosaur. You know, they're a fucking freight liner and it takes them 8 miles to make a turn. Like, they're not nimble. So the fact that they're doing something that I like, that's more in tune with how I like to digest media, is really, really good to me. Mm-hmm. So... I have to say I like the idea of subscription-based Hulu. I mean, I know a lot of people don't. I know that they love it because it's free, and the free will always be there. But if this idea that a subscription-based Hulu is only going to be more, like that free will remain the same, but subscription-based gives you access to a broader range of things and a much more deeper channels. Backlog. Yeah. Yeah, more channels and more backlog. If it comes in at this theorized $10 a month, man, I am up its ass. And if that's what it takes to get it embedded into live, like...
With HD?
Man, that's really, like, you don't understand, that's very, very good for how I watch stuff. Very good for how I watch stuff. It also means, like I said, the cost isn't that big a deal. But I could go buy another 360... and another cheap HD set, put that shit out in the living room, nuke all of this, like, just take all the normal cable stuff away so she can't even figure out how to use it, and be like, this is your TV now. Like, this is it. Even if I didn't take it away, I think she would see that that is a much more agreeable scenario for her. Because she loves Netflix on the 360.
Yeah.
And if she had Hulu on the 360 as well, with, like, a really nice, like a really, really nice body of stuff, that came because of a subscription-based thing. It was like $10, man. Fuck. That's really good. Let's throw an HD antenna, like a physical antenna, onto the HD set, and I'm 90% of the way to all the shit I watch anyway. Not to mention the fact that you can still probably get most of your HD signal through the cable anyhow. Like, it's still piecemeal, or it's not necessarily... Well, it is piecemeal. It's still... multiple avenue, you know, Netflix, Hulu, over the air, all this other stuff. It is not a perfect single cable solution. But the simple act of them putting it somewhere that's very, very user-friendly for my you know, my Luddite woman. Like, this brings it much more in line with how I want to be digesting this shit in the future anyway. I really hope that's something they announce. I hope they can get through all the hurdles, because we know they already have a workable front end for it.
Yeah.
We know that the API exists. So I don't think it's a big deal to everybody, and I actually think it's not. It's actually the opposite of what a lot of people want. But if that's just like one more thing embedded into an already eminently usable interface, like, I'm super happy, you know? Like, I really like it. I know that there's like a moderate amount of evil involved, you know, because they nuked Hulu on the PS3, because you couldn't look at it through the PS3's. I mean, if this whole thing was taking place on my PS3, it would actually be much, much, much better, because that's also my Blu-ray machine, you know? It would be even more integration, but the feeling I get is just better all the way around. I like it. I really hope it's something that they do. It's a much simpler way. And, you know, it's not that big a deal for everybody, but I would really like it. It would kind of change the way I have all of my gaming and media set up in my house. I know most people wouldn't have that kind of experience, but, like, I could move basically a whole copy of that shit out to my living room. And she could just go out there, and then I could finally integrate my gaming PC and my consoles and everything onto my big-ass fucking TV, which I've wanted to do for a while, but haven't been able to. Like, it's a simple thing, but it's enough of a catalyst to make a lot of shit in my house change, which would make me very fucking happy. So, that's what I want to hear. Go turn on your 360 right now and sign up for Hulu on Live.
Sony did it for the PlayStation Store instead, but it was when they revealed that, you know, you can go and download all these movies. You know, we put all these movies up for download now. You can go to the PlayStation Store and turn it on right now and see all that stuff. So, but yeah, it was always good when they did those updates. Like, if you go there right now, it's on the arcade, or it's on here, or it's over here doing this, whatever. Lots of fun stuff. Next tweet comes from Murtaugh. I have beers. I am me. I don't know.
I think he has beers in him.
I have beers in me. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And can't type.
That could be it.
If you could IM me a beer, motherfucker, you would be king of the world.
Next tweet.
That would be awesome. Yeah. And also, I envy you if you do, in fact, have beers in you, because I don't.
You got lemonade. You got none now.
Fuck this lemonade.
Iron Past, if War for Cybertron ends up sucking, I think I'm going to have to murder somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
No. We don't need another fail in the Transformers universe.
No.
Gaming or...
anywhere.
Or in media in general.
I hear Megan Fox got fired from the third movie.
She was never hired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're just skipping. They're just like, I don't want to put up with your shit. But then again, you know.
I don't get the Megan Fox, man.
No, I never
have. I don't really particularly care about that.
That wraps up the tweets.
Good job.
Lots of tweets. And you guys pulled through at the last minute, because I was like, oh shit, we're recording soon. Spam us. Just give us whatever you got. Throw us. Tweet, tweet, tweet. And that's what we got. So thanks for that, guys. Great job. Emails. We only got one, but it's from Drew Paulson. And he wants to talk about the Battlefield series. Dear in-game chat crew, the Junk Shot episode was the first podcast of yours in a while that I'd been able to listen to because I recently joined the U.S. Army. But you guys are still the best gaming podcast around.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyways, on to my questions. What is everyone's favorite Battlefield game? And can you please discuss the changes from the older Battlefield games to the new, i.e. how Battlefield 2 influenced the modern aspect of what Bad Company is today? Thanks.
My favorite Battlefield is still 1942 Desert Combat Mod. I did not like Battlefield 1942. I mean, it was fine. I wouldn't call it a favorite, I guess I should say. I liked it. I just didn't. It was never my favorite. But the Desert Combat Mod, like the TC, god damn it, man. Holy shit, I played a lot of that. Battlefield 2 was a close second.
Two, I think, would have been mine just for, you know, the amount of time I played in it, both, you know, at home and, you know, the several times I've been, you know, deployed to Iraq in the wellness centers. You know, they have a little computer set up for entertainment, and they, you know, even now, they still have computers with Battlefield 2 on it.
It's got long fucking legs.
Yeah, so even this past deployment when I was there, I was like, all right. You know,
everything they've done since.
Let me go over the MWR tent and play Battlefield 2.
Everything they've done since, short of Bad Company 2, hasn't met with nearly as much success.
Yeah.
Because they did a Vietnam, which was...
Yeah.
And then they
Would you consider the Battlefront games also? Because they're... I mean, weren't they developed by the same people?
I don't know.
I thought
I don't know anything about them.
I thought they were. They're just like the Star Wars version. they developed.
I didn't think they were quite the thing. I had thought they suffered really weird design constraints. Dude, if it was Battlefield 2, like straight up Battlefield 2, but just with fucking Star Wars, just
skin them over.
I think it would have been a lot more badass than it actually was.
That was Pandemic that did Battlefront.
Yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was this... I mean, it was kind of in the same vein, but not like...
I mean, those are the guys that did the Saboteur and Mercenaries.
Not like DICE, you know.
Yeah.
Battlefield 2 is the best, still. As fun as Bad Company 2 is, Battlefield 2 is still superior. With the exception of a couple of really egregious balance problems in Battlefield 2, it was all the way around much more fun to play. I can only hope that they're really paying attention to their past design decisions from 2. Like, that's how far back they're going. I mean, I love Bad Company, but I don't think it's the kind of thing you build a continuous design ideal from, you know. I think it's a good place to go. I don't think it's a good step toward the future. The engine's fun. The destructible environments and everything are fun. I just... Something about it really seems to me that it should be more of an offshoot instead of... I don't want Battlefield 3 to resemble Bad Company. I want it to more resemble Battlefield 2.
Yeah.
I want it to treat the PC gaming community fairly. And Bad Company 2 is done right by us, but it isn't... I want my big fucking battles, man. I want my big, giant-ass goddamn battles. I just want it to feel like 2. And given the fact that 2 is still... has an enormous player base, and is still a really, really solid game, I think they'd be smart. Very, very smart to do that. But... honestly, I've always felt that... I mean, I thought it was interesting that, you know, that it was a total conversion, that it was a mod, essentially, that brought us into modern combat in a Battlefield series. Like, the mod preceded the retail release by...
a bit.
Yeah, a considerable bit. And very clearly, you know, influenced the direction of the entire thing. But for what it's worth, I don't see... it's kind of hard to draw a direct relationship between that and Bad Company. It's sort of circuitous, you know? Like, I mean, if you played Bad Company 1 on the console, it felt like Battlefield, you know, because of the same type of progression, the map progression and everything. It felt...
But not really.
The first time I really got an understanding that they shared the DNA was when they released 1943.
Yeah.
And I really kind of felt it. I was like, this is okay. Like, this is... I feel like I'm standing in two places at once here. And then that felt really complete with Bad Company 2. So... I don't know. I want it to be an entirely different part of the family tree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a Bad Company and Battlefield proper to stay different.
Their own licenses and their own entities.
I want them to be separate. But whatever. I just want it to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll hear some of that shit.
I was looking at that. I was thinking about that.
Oh,
I was
that'd like, be really, really nice.
Because I went to look up the developers.
Oh. To hear about that at E3?
Yeah. I was looking at the developers for Battlefront, and then I went, well, let me see. What were the developers for Battlefield? And that was like, oh, there's three. And then I remembered what you were saying. I'm like, yeah. I see. God damn it. I am not invited into the Microsoft event, either of them. Not the Natal event on Sunday, not the press conference on Monday, not the Reach event on Tuesday, or the Best of E3 event on Wednesday. Yeah, I didn't get into any of that shit.
You.
Well, no, it's they overbooked. They moved to a smaller venue and they overbooked. They've actually sent people cancellations saying, I'm sorry, you can't come in. You know, we have to.
About your invitation? Yeah.
Yeah, you really. That. So I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I can watch G4. Exactly. Yeah. That's fine. I'll miss it. Whatever. But I really got to get into EA's press conference.
Yeah.
I really got to get in there. Well, he mentioned Battlefield 3. I want to check out what Criterion's doing.
Yeah.
Because I've got their tweets. They're doing something, and it's all going to be revealed over at E3.
So that's your big thing that you're looking forward to?
I'm not invited to the EA press conference. That's another one I can't get into. I just got into the Ubisoft press conference, so I get to go to that one.
Yeah.
And then there's Activision's got one going on, the Valve situation. I'm in Sony's. I'm in Nintendo's. Nintendo's is pointless, but I'm in Nintendo's. And so I'm glad to be in those. Man, EA, damn it, I want to see that stuff.
What about you, Daniel? What do you want most, you know, to be announced or?
Yeah, out at E3.
Yeah,
I want to see Valve. That's
see what
Valve. That's pretty much my
their Valve thing.
Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty much,
dude. I'm telling you, like anybody who gives a shit about that, like that goes to the top of the list. Everything else can fuck off if they.
Yeah, there's really not
because they know what Microsoft's going to talk about. Fucking their Natal, and Sony's going to talk about Move, and then you know they've got their little games that they'll like sneak us a little bit of, like Infamous 2 is just going to be like a fucking title card and some you know still shots maybe, maybe a little bit of a such
maybe
a
some VO.
Such a tiny teaser, you know, 45 seconds. 30 of which are going to be logos, Sony, and then, you know, Sucker Punch and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know,
ba-bam, all right,
a little bit of a lightning sound or that electricity sound of using, you know, coal. And then Infamous 2, you ain't going to get much.
Yeah.
Last Guardian you get a little bit more of or something like that. But, you know, it's going to be few and far between. But it's Valve, man. Jesus Christ.
Well, the thing is, they're... It's why they're so interesting. They're 100% in control of what they do.
Whatever they want to do.
You can't predict what they're going to do because they aren't. They can do whatever the fuck they want to do. Whatever's the most interesting thing to Gabe and the rest of them at any point in time. The only people they have to talk to about any particular subject is their EA partners routine for distribution. Like, but even that's like, man, what the fuck ever. As far as creative is concerned, they can do whatever they want, which makes them interesting.
What about you, RJ?
Never really thought about E3, really. Splatterhouse. I heard that's back in back in production. Hope some screens or something of that. Or maybe a Virtual Fighter 5 R release on PSN or Live. Something along those lines.
Oh, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You'd want to see some of that. But then again, I don't know if it's coming out. So you're not the no on the Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
I'm going to hold off on Marvel Capcom 3.
Oh. Because
they're trying to appeal to a broader audience. And in order to do that, they're going to make it really, really simple.
Like Pocket Fighter?
Marvel vs. Capcom. So I'm going to hold off on that.
Bloody Roar or something.
Bloody Roar.
I loved that game.
It's like Pocket Fighter for simple.
Pocket Fighter wasn't simple. It looked simple because they were small. They're small and cute. That's easy. No, it wasn't like that. Bloody Roar had like two attacks.
Yeah.
For assholes like me, you know?
For me, obviously, Valve, I'm super excited about.
Oh, yeah, now that the rest of us are.
Please, you want me to go to LucasArts and be like, look, Chuck's Revenge, could you look?
Oh, yeah, no. See, I already know that's been announced.
He's only excited about Valve because they're in control of Steam, which releases a bunch of shit from LucasArts.
What were you going to say?
Microsoft. I want...
My LucasArts soft.
Sure, Force Unleashed 2.
Oh, yeah, actually, no. Yeah, they are talking. Yeah,
I actually do want to see that. That's a good.
As long as they have like more than three bosses in it. I mean,
you know. Well, I'm expected everything that we saw at on the video game awards. Mm-hmm. All those little teasers and shit. Yeah. I'm expected that's to hear true. More about. Yeah. I'm like, that's a given. It's. I'm trying to think of the shit that
the like whoa. Big stuff.
Yeah.
For me, shit. It's something that Kevin and I were talking about recently on over live. MechWarrior, the reboot.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, that's optimistic as hell.
I know, but it's one of those things. I mean, we're just talking about like, you know, I know earlier we're talking about like a Wild West MMO, but the other thing, the MMO I want most would be a MechWarrior BattleTech MMO.
Jesus Christ, go back to sleep. Seriously,
like
I
you.
I mean, I I'm not saying that you're stupid. I'm saying like,
keep dreaming.
It ain't ever gonna fucking happen, man. Like, you're not gonna see it.
I know, but God, what, since they already announced, you know,
you'll get a mummy MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shit.
You are.
I know.
MMO.
I saw that in the new Clone Wars, whatever. But no.
And you might actually get an Elder Scrolls MMO. Which would be a decent consolation prize.
Elder Scrolls would Fallout. Now that would be because I know.
That shit's. Still
I know there's some legal
like,
limbo, but
yeah, Elder Scrolls they're totally in control of, which is why they would
do that one. Well, I mean, the Fallout MMO wouldn't be Bethesda, anyways. It would be Interplay.
Yeah.
But no, with since they had the opening video or whatever teaser video for the MechWarrior reboot in the 3015.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since then, because you know, Kevin, I haven't even seen that. You know, I'd say no, you got to go check that out. But since they're obviously not doing a Mech Assault, thank goodness, because that was utter horseshit, and I hated those games. An actual MechWarrior game, you know, I think is one of the more things I'm most excited about.
Ain't nobody left that knows how to play mechs. These kids nowadays. They don't know anything about mechs.
Ideally, I would love for them and Capcom to get together and like have Capcom like, here's our you know Steel Battalion controller, use it MechWarrior.
Man, your head is way up there, isn't it?
I live in the clouds, man. But that would be my ideal, having that Steel Battalion.
Sure. I mean, while we're making shit up.
Yeah. You brought up Kevin. We got a voicemail from Kevin here. And he specifically apparently wants to talk to you, Matt. So here, this is Kevin.
Hey, IGC, how's it going, fellas? Hope you guys are having a good show. I'm not calling to pick on anybody specific except for Matthew Garrett, man. Matt, fuck you, dude. Like, you totally got me wanting to play some MechWarrior shit, man. That was a great conversation we were having the other day. I didn't know if you guys were going to be talking about that, so bring it up, will you? That's some untapped shit that we need to flush out. Anyway, talk to y'all guys later. Bye.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how we got on the subject. He was playing Red Dead.
Well, the two of you were talking.
Yeah, okay.
So MechWarrior came up. I'm pretty sure that's happened every time you two have been together since I've fucking known you.
Yeah.
Because I know you were doing that before I knew you.
It started out with, you know, like tabletops and Battletech and stuff like that. Because I was telling him about the MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries free release that MechTech.net put out. And because he hadn't played that one either, and so he was downloading that, and yeah, we're just talking about how fun it would be to have like, even like a Catan, you know, like a for Xbox Live Arcade, a BattleTech, you know,
sure.
Hex game, just anything in that universe, I think is just, you know, minus a Mech Assault would be just fantastic, you know, to give you know people something to think about.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the.
It's all that shit.
That's all that shit. There you go. Which really covers most of the show. Anyway,
you know, it's how it goes.
I'm surprised we weren't doing this sooner.
Well, we're pretty stupid.
It takes a while for us to adapt, and to learn.
It does.
We're slow. Anyway, that's it. This weekend, my plan is. It was interesting that I had so many games to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had games to pick from before, but I've never had like fucking five games sitting there that each of those I could easily jump into right then. I had Alan Wake, Red Dead Redemption, Split Second, Blur, Prince of Persia. Five games that I could easily just jump into right there and sit down and play for a good while, which I finally did get into some Prince of Persia.
How is it?
Prince of Persia. I mean, you played this one, you played Forgotten Sands. I mean, you played Sands of Time, the very first
one.
Which is what, I swear to God, this one's such a deja vu feeling of doing the same thing over again.
Well, that's exactly what I want from a game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's fine. It was just like, but the problem is that it's sitting here with four other games that...
That are, yeah.
Not.
You know.
Well, let's be fair. This is exactly what I did before. It comes up every so often in Red Dead. Like, I mean, whatever. I'm not saying it's that exact a copy, but, you know. If we're talking about things that are fundamentally different, I don't think Red Dead gets to be in that conversation. Not that it doesn't rock.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, I also figured, I played Split Second. To give you my quick assessment, I'm only two episodes in of a 12-episode season.
I picked that up at rental because, like, I took my other shit back,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I got to walk out of here with something.
Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah. I
either hold on to the game till there's something else, or if I go back, there's got to be something I got to walk out for.
I got to.
Because it feels like a waste. You get two things. You need to walk out with something.
What did I take? I took, because previously I got Prince of Persia, and I was like, no, I'm not putting it in, because then I'll play like a few minutes of it. And not ever finish.
I put it on easy, and I'm just going to blow through it real quick just to knock it out. They've always been fun to play.
Sure.
Mainly, I don't play them for the combat. I play them for, you know, doing the room challenges. That's what I do, so.
No, I walked out with Split Second and Metro 2033.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Which I haven't put in yet.
Hmm.
Felt deep shame for not having done previously.
Yeah.
I just kept telling myself I was going to wait till a deal online.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a guilt, you know.
They're making a Hawks 2.
Yeah.
Why not?
A what?
That was Hawks last 2? Week, I believe.
Was it? What?
Hawks, the Tom Clancy's, you know, Ghost Hawks. Universe.
Tony Hawk's Air Patrol.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I
played the demo for the first one. I didn't actually get it. But,
I played the first one.
I'm thinking about, once it's pretty cheap, picking it up just because I can use my Ace Combat stick.
You can, but play it first.
It's exactly what you think it is. It's exactly what you think it is. It's, you know, flight combat game on a console.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. But it's turning battles... And I have infinite rockets, so why don't you make me destroy 300 tanks per mission? Like, that's what it is.
If you really want to play something, play I.L. Sturmovik.
Chill?
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, I have that on the PC.
You've played that on the PC.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but you can play it on your...
I've tried to take off on the PC several
times.
Talk
about a fucking...
You can get that cheap right now. On your 360 and use your Ace Combat.
I'd rather push a boulder up a hill forever in hell than try to actually become proficient at that game. I'm like Matt. I took off once.
Yeah,
I was really proud.
It didn't last. I was like, it was like the Wright brothers, you know, kind of flight. Yeah, bam. But you know, for those 14 seconds, I was airborne. I was like, yeah, oh,
yeah.
I can't take my hands off the controller.
It's working.
That was my first experience with a somewhat authentic flight simulator.
Oh, really?
PS3 version?
Yeah. I told you about that when I played the demo.
You like your games hard.
I like my games hard, but goddamn, my controls better be simple.
Even RJ's like, holy crap.
Well, and it was like, it was just fucking amusing that they put an avionics model that realistic in a game, on a system with a fucking controller. Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, the world looked funny a lot while playing that game.
Holy shit.
I'm almost going to spin upside down in that thing.
Turn. I'm going to go over here, stall.
Turn.
I'm going to hit flat spin. Well, maybe if I just looked at tailspin. Oh, what's that over there? Blow up, die. Like...
Bird strike.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy shit, dude.
God, I think the demo had like 15 German planes you had to take out in these bombers. That could figure out how to straighten up.
Which was pretty cheesy. I mean, the missions of the PC version were like we're going to take off, we're going to like fly to this point, and there's like, you know, a supply train that's due to be between this place and this place, and our job is to like destroy that supply train and then fly home. Like, very realistic shit. And I'm still fucking A-hard, dude. It's fucking hard.
I think Kevin was the only one that really could do that.
I was about to say.
Kevin was always the only guy that could do anything.
I think next episode, after he hears this one, we'll have a voicemail from Kevin next episode. Because
it was the same thing with Falcon 4.0.
That's one of the ones I was up
ass forever.
I still have my disc. I still have that nice binder. Yeah. And I look at that and I'm like, part of me really want, because I know they have the high def patches, they have all the stuff. And, you know, I've been to Korea, and, you know, I want to load it up and do it, but then I remember playing it.
Or anything, you might be going back.
Yeah. No, I will. That's where they decided.
I mean, with, you know, prejudice.
Yeah.
If they can't fucking figure their shit out over there. Hearing that new stuff, by the way, I could not help but think back to Falcon 4.0. I was like, man, like, I bet some motherfucker would be releasing mission packs for that shit.
Real
world. No, they probably already are.
Yeah.
I don't know, flight sims in the world. I was never a hardcore study sim guy. I couldn't do it. Jane's USAF was exactly my speed.
That was fun.
I mean, it was good. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like, I mean, with all the difficulty turned up, it's still
challenge
a flight sim, but I'm more of a like survey sim difficulty kind of guy. Just like, now I want to fly some missions in an A-10. Okay, that's great. Now I want to do some air superiority in a Tomcat. Now I want to do
Silent
some...
Thunder 2, the A-10 from Sierra. Way back in the day. That was fun. But I know we've talked about this years and years ago. If they could do like a Falcon 4.0 study sim for like the X-Wing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to have a dream about that, man.
Okay, Totally Games, get on it.
Yes. Larry Holland. You still alive?
I think so. Working? Yeah.
I hope so. Not doing what I need him to do.
No.
Whatever. I'm done.
I can't remember where we were going. I was talking about Split Second. I can't remember what I was going to say about Split Second. Oh, now I do remember. Split Second has no difficulty setting on it. You cannot change the difficulty setting. And I have my issues with it as well, because it is very tough to come in first in that game. But, you know, I realized that...
Have you considered that maybe you just suck?
I would love to think that, but God damn it, I'm so...
Rusty or something?
No, I'm great at Burnout.
Yeah, I played you in Burnout before. And you
I'm great at Burnout, and that has traffic to deal with.
Yeah.
You know? That has blind corners that I have to deal with.
I mean, I know you're good at that kind of thing, because it's like your kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if maybe you've become trained
to play
too much
Burnout.
To one type of racing game.
That could be it. That could definitely be it. But Split Second, there, as their name implies, is exactly how. If you've ever finished first, that's the only reason you're finishing first, is within a split second of fucking hair. You will never have a gigantic lead that lasts in Split Second. And boy, fuck, you will get some shit triggered right there at the end that could wipe you the hell out. Or at least slow you down enough that you miss by fucking hair that game.
I mean, I've played with friends of mine. Sometimes you just have to know how to avoid it. I mean, you can expect, like, there's a stage where I think it's a level three action. You can just make this plane, like, land.
That happened. The plane landing is a scripted event, but in order to make that happen, you have to trigger a path change. Mm-hmm. You have to knock down the tower. When the tower knocks down, that puts your cars on the runway. Mm-hmm. So you won't see the plane when you cross the runway the first time after the tower's knocked down. It's coming around that second lap that the plane's coming in for a landing, and will land the fuck on you.
Yeah, I mean, well. But the thing I was trying to say was that, you know, there's always ways, well, from what my experience, there was always ways around it. You know, you just had to be in the right spot at the right time. Maybe you couldn't get to it 9 times out of 10, but there was if you got an opportunity.
Now, are you basing this off just the demo, or you?
No, this is off of a full version I was playing at someone else's home. There's always a way around it. You just got to know where to be at the right time.
Speaking of, update us on your rental situation. What was the game you were trying to get last time?
I was trying to get Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, they ever come through?
They finally did get it in, but it was rented out, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they had only like one copy, maybe two.
What the fuck?
Fucking noobs.
Damn.
Yeah.
And before we go, the other thing on Blur I wanted to mention, the part of the single player that I do enjoy are the friend challenges. Anything that I do in single player, in a race or in any of the events that are in the single player, once I'm done with that, if I, you know, am pretty impressed with myself or think that, you know, that was pretty tough, I'd like to see somebody else try it, I can hit a button and, you know, initiate a friend challenge. And I can send it up to three different people on my friends list and tell them that, you know, whatever. That's fine. I like that. The other part of that that I like, other games have allowed me to do this, allowed me to challenge friends. There's a high score, go beat my high score. They can look at the leaderboards and see what they need to do. This one actually just, you know, it initiates a challenge. You have to beat my time on this track with this car at this difficulty setting, the same way I did it. Mm-hmm. You have to do this. But I can put that on Twitter. I like that I can put that. I like that I can publicly mm-hmm. challenge someone. Mm-hmm. I can do it on Facebook, too. I haven't done it on Facebook, but I can do it on Facebook and Twitter. That integration really works well. And that's the way I'd like to see more games use integration like that. Not in a sense of spam like Uncharted 2 did, where it's like...
Farmville.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I always get like on Facebook, like, you know, old Farmville.
I don't use Facebook. I use Facebook's chat, but I don't use Facebook.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. But you know, Uncharted, where you could set all these things to update when it happened.
Yeah.
He had no control. In Blur, I can control what I want to share and how I want to share that. I'm not going to tell somebody that, oh, I'm currently looking at this car in Blur the game. No, I'm not going to do that. It's going to be when I beat somebody or when I'm challenging someone to be like, here, you know, go beat this. I'm challenging you. The fact that it's public, I love that fact. So anyway, that's it for my discussion on what I played. So there you go. I'm done.
That's us.
Yeah, that's us. That's us. That's it. We're done. We'll see you next week.
See you then.